Welcome to The Radical Word, the chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Lancaster, Senior Pastor of Calvary Chapel, French Valley. Open your Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart so that the Word of God can do a radical work in you.
You know, God delights in His children. And in fact, in Psalms 123:7, it says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord." Another word for heritage is they're a gift. And this morning, we get to do something that I'll have to tell you is special to Deb and I, and for numerous reasons. But we are getting to dedicate Joy Ingram. Now, you may say, who is Joy Ingram? Well, you know, Norm did a great job of introducing Joy, right? Joy Ingram is a child that was born on the mission field, and Brandon and Unita Ingram, who are missionaries to Indonesia, have come and are visiting the States for a little bit, and they have asked that while they're here at their home church, that we dedicate Joy to the Lord. What a blessing. So I'm going to ask them to come forward. And I just want to share a couple of things. Not only do we have the privilege of dedicating Joy to the Lord, but, you know, a baby dedication is really the desire of the parents to give back to the Lord the growing up period for babies, right? And in fact, we know that because in the Gospels, Jesus had people that would bring children and babies to them just so he could pray over them and for them. And so this morning, Brandon and Unita are bringing Joy to dedicate her to the Lord. They're joining their family. So I'm going to have you guys just stand, Brandon's family, please. You can stay standing through this if you don't mind. The friends, because there are a number of us that are friends. And then, of course, our church, because our church is now the sending church, the home church for STL, Shine the Light International Ministries, of whom Brandon works with. And so we get that opportunity to dedicate Joy. Now, I'm going to try to hold Joy here in a minute. And over the last couple of days, she has not really taken to me. She has taken to Deb. Fancy that. But not necessarily to me. So if she starts crying, Unita will get to hold her while we pray. But I want to call your attention to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. And I want to read that to you because baby dedication is not a baby baptism. I want to make sure that we're clear on that. Scripture does not talk about baby baptism or baptism of children. But it does talk about us being able to dedicate a child to the Lord, as well as for us to be responsible to help raising. Probably have to get through this quickly, huh? just as long as we corral everyone, we can pray. Just let her go. Yeah. I want to read this. Let's read together if you have your Bibles open. It says this: "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart." And here comes the dedication part for the parents, as well as for us as a church and family and friends. "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." This verse tells us that you shall love the Lord your God with everything, your heart, your soul, your strength, and you shall teach the words of the Lord diligently to this child. And so this morning, we're going to lay hands on these two, and we're going to dedicate them first as parents to the Lord, because their responsibility in doing what God calls them diligently is what we are going to hold them accountable to do, as well as family, friends, and the church are going to help them as they raise Joy unto the Lord. That something we will take on, correct? Okay. You guys Okay. So are you committing yourself today to serving the Lord, to diligently teaching joy the words of the Lord?
Yes.
I'm going to ask that you would extend a hand of covering so that as Deb, can you come up and lay hands on Yunita? As we pray, as I pray, just extend your blessing upon them as well as holding them accountable. So let's pray. Father God, as we come before you, we do lay our hands upon Brandon and Yunita and baby Joy, Father. They're precious in our sight. You have given the gift of joy to these two, Father, as an opportunity to demonstrate who you are through the parents, through the family, and through this church, Father. So, Lord, we ask and thank you publicly, Father, for the opportunity and the intention that Brandon and Yunita have agreed to, Father, to raise baby Joy, Father, in God's word. In admonition, Father, of who you are, and in obedience to your guidance. We pray, Father, for a covering upon Brandon and Yunita as they dedicate themselves first and then Joy Ingram to you. So we pray for an anointing upon them. We pray, Father, for protection about them. And Lord, as a body, we commit ourselves to covering them in prayer, to holding them up, to being, Father, supporters of theirs as they seek to share Jesus Christ with Joy. So, Lord, we are blessed to dedicate Joy this morning back to you. But even more than Joy, this family, Father, that have chosen to serve you on a mission field, Father, where you are doing something that is beyond imagination. You're changing eternal destinies through this ministry. And Lord, as we think of Joy, as she grows up in this, Lord, there will be times of attack by the enemy. We pray against that right now in Jesus' name. And we pray, Father, for the victory that only you can give to descend upon this family, and that as people walk with them, that they would see and give a victory to others around them. Bless them, bless their family, Father, that as their parents, Father, who desire to see Joy grow in the wisdom and knowledge of who you are, as they also contribute, Father, we pray for a protection and a blessing upon them. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for bringing Brandon and Yunita into our lives. And now, Lord, we dedicate them and ask for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. It's good that you helped. Bless you. Just stick close. Yeah, yeah. Will you come to me just for a minute? Will you? Oh, almost. Okay. Pastor Rick, now.
All right. Truly a blessing, and I get a double blessing here today, as I get to do something that we don't get to do very often here. We don't do very often here. I have known Brandon, 10-ish years, and I've got to watch him grow and mature as a man of God, and to see him grow in the ministry that God has called him to. And so today we get to do something that I am double blessed to be able to do, and that is to ordain him as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Throughout history, God has called men, women, to do the work of his will. Righteous Noah was chosen to survive the flood and save his family through the building of the ark. Abraham, the man of faith, was selected to be the forerunner of God's holy nation, Israel. Moses, the man of God, was called to deliver his people from slavery in Egypt. Are you overwhelmed that I'm comparing, naming all those that I'm going to ordain you? You ought to be. Jesus chose 12 men to be his apostles. Jesus later would choose the Apostle Paul to be a missionary to the Gentiles. And I believe that's especially appropriate as what we're ordaining you to be is to be a missionary to the Gentiles in a faraway place that we know as Indonesia. The early church would set apart those called to special work, often to go away from their home and their people to minister the truth and the gospel and the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ to those who need to hear it so desperately. And we're here today to formally ordain or appoint you, Brandon, to the work which God has called you, the work that we've already seen and witnessed you doing, and to make official what God has already ordained, and that is to be a pastor, a minister of the gospel. So let's pray and ask for God's blessing over this ceremony. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the privilege, Lord. And we don't do anything, Lord, that you haven't already done. We stand here today only to acknowledge what you have done. That, Lord God, as we ordain Brandon, Lord, we don't do it because we decided that he would be a minister, that he would be a pastor, that he would have this calling to minister to those of Indonesia. But, Lord God, you determined that. Before the foundation of the world, you decided that. And so we gather together today just to acknowledge what you have already determined. And so I thank you, Lord, for your blessing over this time and over him in Jesus' name. Amen. Brandon, if you would please come and stand up here to stand before the congregation. The Apostle Paul exhorted in 1 Peter chapter 5. He said this, "The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples of the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Having heard the exhortation of Scripture, Brandon, please respond to the following questions. Have you prayerfully considered the responsibility of living and preaching the gospel? And have you weighed the work involved and the sacrifices you may be called upon to make? If you will, indicate so by saying, I have.
I have.
Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the Holy Scriptures are the Word of God to make us wise to salvation through faith in Him? If you do, indicate so by saying, I do.
I do.
Are you motivated not out of a desire for position or earthly gain, but by the love of God and of your fellow men and the wish to glorify Him and save them? If you are, indicate so by saying, I am.
I am.
Will you strive to build up the church, the body of Christ, prepare God's people for works of service, to labor for the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God? If you will, indicate so by saying, I will.
I will.
Will you endeavor to live a life of love within your family and in the community and so draw others to Christ through your example as well as by your word? If you will, indicate so by saying, I will.
I will.
Brandon, you have declared your purpose to give your life as a service unto Jesus Christ and his church. The elders of Calvary Chapel French Valley have prayed and believe that it is God's will that you will be ordained as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ today. Now, while the ordination is given to you alone, you will not walk in this ministry alone. As we've already seen here this morning, God has blessed you with a wife and a child. Yunita, would you please step forward and stand beside Brandon as a sign that you will walk on this journey with him? I'd like to invite the elders to come forward now. In order that you might be formally set apart, Pastor Randy, Pastor John, Norm, and I, as the elders of the church, will lay hands on you and ask for God's blessing upon your ministry as well as upon your family. And I would ask the congregation to extend their hands, that you would agree with us and that you would make a commitment to pray for them in this ministry, this exciting new journey that God has called them to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before you now and ask for your blessing upon Brandon, Lord God, as you've called him to a noble and high work, Lord God, to stand apart, Lord, to stand with but apart in a way that draws others to you. And I ask, Lord God, that you would sanctify him in your name and your word. I pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you would indwell him with power and might. I pray, Lord God, that you would fall upon him to help him to be what it is you've called him to be. I pray, Lord, also for his marriage, Lord, that you would knit them together as one flesh in a way that nothing in this universe can come between them, that you would give them strength and power through their marriage. I pray for their family, a shield of protection around them, that as they raise up this little child and any other children that, God, you would bless them with, that, Lord God, they would do so in such a way that others would see the glory and the power of God. We do come before you now, and we acknowledge and again agree, Lord God, that you've ordained this man as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we pray. We thank you, Lord, and we lift it up to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce to you Pastor Brandon Ingram. With that, Pastor Brandon is now going to share with us a little bit.
Morning, everybody. Yeah, it's a wonderful day today. Been really excited about this for a long time, so why don't we pray again really fast. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love for us, and we thank you that you are here with us, living in our hearts, and we can enjoy your presence as we hear your word and worship together and enjoy the people around us, our family and the body of Christ, our eternal family, Lord. And we thank you for this time. We thank you for this church and this building, this place we can meet together and meet with you personally and have our the desires of our hearts satisfied by your love and your presence. And we thank you for this time. Speak through your servant. Speak through Pastor Randy to strengthen the body of Christ. It wouldn't be about us at all, but about your glory, and to build and edify your body to accomplish your purpose in this world and to satisfy and strengthen us as well. We thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. I just want to say thank you to the Lord Jesus Christ for putting me in this place and allowing me to be here, that I'm not worthy of it all. It's all because of his grace and mercy that I'm here, and everything that I've been through and everything that he's accomplished through my life. I'm also thankful to this church, Pastor Rick and Pastor Randy, Calvary French Valley, and also STL International, to allow me to minister, and I'm just really thankful for that. And I appreciate the prayers of all of you and your support, which is equally important, just as much as what I myself do and others do on the mission field, because we're all one body, not one person has more important part than the other. We're one body doing this together, fulfilling the Great Commission for his kingdom. I want to share a passage of scripture with you before I share about kind of the history of our ministry, so you have just an idea to fulfill the theme of today, which is Mission Sunday. Would you turn with me to Philippians chapter 3? I'm going to go through verse 17 to 21. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 to 21. I'll start in verse 17. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, for the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. I was praying about what area of the Bible that the Lord wanted me to speak from. Usually we, as you know, go through the Bible verse by verse, but when you're asked to speak, I usually ask the Lord, where do you want me to speak from? So this is the passage that God put on my heart, about our citizenship being in heaven. The passage starts out with sharing about these particular men, whether they be apparent religious leaders or just ungodly individuals living in the Roman Empire. men who were grieving the heart of Paul. Paul had the heart of God in him, wanted all men to be saved. And these men were grieving him as he was seeing their lifestyle. Men of the earth living for the flesh, living for temporary things, things that don't last past when we go into the next life. It says their God was their belly. I thought that was a little bit funny. Yeah, but they were led by the flesh, which represents the flesh. What we eat, only our daily needs, things that satisfy us temporarily, only in this life. Not living for eternity, living for their own personal glory, only in this moment. He says that their end is destruction. The end of their life, it's a waste. They didn't receive the opportunity to accept Christ in this life. And then their life, not only their life is wasted, not fulfilling God's eternal purpose for them, but then their eternity being wasted, passing into eternity, separated from the Lord Jesus Christ, separated from all the wonders of heaven that God has prepared for men that he created, that he didn't intend to spend eternity separated from him. I love the verse where it says that God does not delight in the death of the wicked. People try to blame God for many other things. He's the most blamed person in history, but still the word stands firm. He doesn't want anybody to perish, and he gives everyone an opportunity. As I've spent some time in Southern California, and also I can testify of the way it is in Indonesia, obviously we know we're living in the last days based on the decline in morality that we've seen around us. It's pretty terrifying, and people have become desensitized. I hear people cursing, and just the appearance of people is just more and more terrifying. Not that I'm a good-looking person, but we can tell when someone has an evil heart, and when somebody is living an evil lifestyle, it comes out in their appearance. On the flip side, for people that are walking with the Lord, you see a joy in their lives and an excitement. You can tell a lot of times by somebody's appearance. These men are living for something that will never satisfy them. They keep trying to satisfy their lives, but something is not right. The Bible says that the creation is subjected to futility or emptiness. Do you ever notice how everything is everything just right? There's always some issue in our life, some problem we have. Because the Bible says we're subjected to futility. We can't be completely satisfied right now. I love the famous quote by C.S. Lewis. He says, "Do you ever find that you're never satisfied? It's because we're created for another world. In that other world that we're waiting for, the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll transform our lowly bodies into his glorious body, the same as his resurrected body. And that's what we're waiting for now. If we put our eyes on that, we will be satisfied because our hope will be in that. Hope causes us to be able to continue on. I was reading an interesting test that was done on rats in Europe. They tested these rats. They put them in a barrel in the ocean and let them sit there. The first batch, they saved them after so many hours. And then the next batch they put in, and then they let them die. And I guess the first batch died after about 17 hours. Then they tested the first batch. The second batch died. They died for 7 hours. They tested again the first batch of rats, and they put them in there, and they lasted for like 3 days, and then they saved them. First batch only lasted 17 hours. The second batch only lasted 7 hours. The first batch had been saved before, so they had this hope in them that they would be saved again. So they lasted a lot longer. So that hope is what drives us on. This is what it's talking about. If we look at our circumstances around us, we can get depressed. The condition of the world today, whatever we're going through in our life. I know all of us have some sort of suffering or difficulty in our life that's eating away at us, whether it be a physical, financial, or relationship problem, or at times just simply a lack of hope. But when we have that hope in our hearts, and we can continually focus on God, his goodness, his mercy in our lives, we can not only be thankful, but we can have a hope. This isn't it, what we're going through today. We have something amazing and wonderful waiting for us. Remember, Jesus is our Redeemer. We don't need to be regretful about what happened in our past. He's redeemed our past mistakes. We don't have to, why did I do that? We often get so upset with ourselves, and we rerun a tape in our mind. If only I would have done this way, then everything wouldn't be the way it is today. But no. God is sovereignly in control of our lives, and he's also redeemed us of our mistakes. We can just bask in his glory because of his blood that's covered us, and we stand in the righteousness of Christ. Maybe the people around us, our family, know of our faults and failures, but God sees us in his perfect righteousness. We're a sweet smelling aroma to him, even though we don't feel like a sweet smelling aroma to ourselves and to the people around us. But he sees us in his righteousness. And that's really nice today, but especially nice when we pass into eternity and we're allowed to enter into the eternal kingdom of God. It's a special privilege that we get to go to heaven. We often take that for granted. You know, Jesus said, he uses the term, for those who are counted worthy to stand before the Son of Man and have a place in heaven. We need to try to remind ourselves of the incredible privileges to be able to enter into the kingdom of God, which many people will miss out on for eternity. Focus on eternal things and the promise that our bodies, these decrepit, decaying bodies, will be transformed. Don't try to make them up and try to get them big and buff and healthy and everything, because, you know, that's for our own glory, and it won't last. It won't satisfy us. The satisfaction comes from just simply walking in a love relationship with God, having him satisfy us, seeking him daily. It's about a routine. It's not about one commitment today and then, okay, I'm going to be good for the rest of my life. I feel so filled with the Spirit. I'm worshiping. Things are great. No, we got to have that routine of daily walking with the Lord, saying, no matter what, I'm going to commit to doing my devotion when I wake up before having a donut and a cup of coffee. I'm going to seek the Lord, spend that time, and trust that as I seek him, you know, I will find him and he will help me in my time of need. That's what he's there for. That's what the body of Christ is there for. I was so blessed by a particular brother who was sharing with me this morning of how he has an accountability partner and they connect 3 times a day. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. And not only do we have that time with the Lord, but we have one another to strengthen one another, not just on Sunday, but outside of that time. We need to be connecting, whether it be a midweek service or connecting other ways. We have social media today. Paul had to write letters. It took weeks. Now we can just simply click with our hands and then we get the letter, send the letter and receive it back. Put our hearts on the Lord and make Jesus the most thing that you're most excited about. We often, we want to be excited about things. When we have hope or we get excited about something, that's what drives us. And what's the passion of our life today? Are we excited about the Lord Jesus? Are we thinking about him? Are we more excited about other things or earthly goals? And all of us struggle with this, which is we can call idols, but it's emptiness. It brings us back to that place of emptiness and a lack of hope. We forsake our own mercy when we go after idols. But when the Lord Jesus Christ becomes the passion of our heart, the most thing that we're most excited about, there's no words can describe what we experience when we sense his presence. And that's what we were created for, to fellowship with him and worship him, experience him. And when we're not doing that, we're really missing out. And we have the potential to miss out on his perfect will or opportunities that he has for us now. But thank God that we won't miss out on him for eternity. But let's keep coming back to him and focusing on what he has for us. I want to share with you a little bit of a background of our ministry and how the Lord brought this together. I personally was transformed by the Lord and came into the glorious light of the kingdom of God in 1999. Came out of a worldly lifestyle. I went to the Bible college here at Calvary, the one right down the street, just neighbors from here, in the year 2000, and got an opportunity to go on a mission trip to Indonesia in 2000, and it really changed my perspective, my life, and God really confirmed to me that he had a calling for me to go to Indonesia through the calling of Abraham. It shows up later in Acts, and he kind of reconfirmed that to me very powerfully. So I knew that I was called to be in Indonesia. I was there pretty much alone for about 2 years trying to do something, and it wasn't good. I was in my early 20s. On the mission field alone, not a good idea to be sent out as a young guy onto the mission field, especially to Bali Island. But one day I was back at a church and I was speaking at a particular church on mission. I think it was like a mission Sunday. The second service, they had a missions prayer for the missionaries. So I went into this service and I saw this guy. I thought he was like a biker or something because he said he wasn't wearing a leather jacket, but I thought he was wearing a leather jacket. He reminded me of some a biker guy that was maybe rode a Harley or something. And he just looked at me and he's like, "What can I pray for you for?" And I'm like, "Whoa, this guy's." I was like, it was just an interesting meeting. And his view of me was different. He saw me in a picture with a very small Indonesian guy, and he thought I was like 6'5", just this big guy. And he's like, "That's Brandon, little short guy." Yeah. And later, yeah. And this man was, his name is Pastor Randy Denham. So that was our first encounter. But it's interesting, within 9 months of that meeting, we were already sent out on the mission field together, myself, Pastor Randy, and Debbie. Within 9 months of that first interesting meeting, who would have thought? Yeah. And it was really incredible. Still at my young age, I'm so thankful for my wonderful parents, Doom and Linda Ingram. They raised me and were so faithful. And after leaving the house, still having those youthful lusts and the youth, I needed to be refined. And that was God used Pastor Randy to do that in my life. I remember he sat down with me, he's like, "Brandon, you need to be corralled." And I did, because I was off. It's not proper to be on the mission field at a young age by yourself. There needs to be a strong sending church. There needs to be a strong team together to do that. We're not lone rangers. We're the body of Christ, as I shared earlier, to accomplish his will. What I saw was an incredible example in Pastor Randy's life, which was being committed to the Word of God in prayer. You know, as we hear, the men that God uses are men of the Word and men of prayer. And that's what I saw in his life. Committing to do his morning devotion every single morning, really, really early in the morning before the sun rises. And that was an example for me that I've carried on, throughout my life up until this point. And then also committing to prayer. We came down to Indonesia together, and even Pastor Randy had a lot of experience in India and Haiti and many other countries. But at that time, we didn't want to step, ahead of God. We were praying. We're committed to prayer, to following what God wanted us to do in Indonesia. And at first, we weren't sure what we were supposed to do. If you look in Acts 13:2, before Paul was sent out, he wasn't planning a big mission trip, but he was just ministering or enjoying his relationship with the Lord. And as he was doing that, then God said, "Now separate unto me Paul and Barnabas for the work of the ministry." As we prayed together, within 3 years of that time that we were sent out, God did some miraculous things. We had a pretty large Bible college. We had a medical clinic through which we were doing medical outreaches for Hindus and Muslims, making an impact in their lives with the witness of Christ's love all over Indonesia, including natural disasters, helping with communities with a micro lending program, and also doing other evangelistic work. After all that happened, we felt like, okay, we've accomplished something. Things are going well. But sure enough, the Bible promises all those who want to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's my least favorite promise in the Bible. And that was absolutely, it's true. And so pretty soon the persecution came, and we weren't expecting it, but a lot of things came that we weren't ready for, When Paul went out on his first missionary journey, he went from Antioch to Antioch of Pisidia and preaching the gospel as we went to Indonesia. And Paul was stoned. We also got stoned. And he died. Maybe he died or was almost dead. We were a little bit more fortunate, but we still got hit by rocks. So. and many other sufferings that we went through, not needing any immunizations because you've gotten all the diseases that they have on there. Yeah. And as I look through the list of sufferings that Paul went through in 2 Corinthians 11, there's only a few that I found that we haven't been through down there. So shipwrecked, as Pastor Andy was sharing in the service earlier, being out in the ocean, Debbie breaking her tailbone she was sitting on the end of the boat, and then the waves were about 15 feet high, and the boat came slamming down, and she broke her tailbone. And then short after that, we barely, almost drowned, made it into this cove, and then we had to walk through the jungle for hours. There's crocodiles, snakes, quicksand, barely survived. And then a few years later, that village got swept away by a tsunami. So, yeah, just the Lord had his hand upon us. We had our base in Bali, but then in 2010, God called us to go to a city called Kupang. We didn't think that we'd be called out of Bali, but then God had another plan. He brought us to a city called Kupang, and it was a miraculous thing that happened there. We brought a team of 76 people over, chartered a plane, and God worked through the translators that were translating for the team members, and they all, a bunch of them got saved. And it was like a miniature Jesus movement revival. You know, a huge number of people got saved, and we started a house church. That was 2010, and then the church is still going on today. If you've heard of it, the Shine Fellowship. And that's the church that the team that's going to be going down in October is going to be ministering at. We didn't think that we'd be planting churches after all the stuff that God uses us to do, but then he worked it out to plant a church, and which is, you know, part of the Great Commission. We feel like that the how can we touch Indonesian people? It's going to be through Indonesians themselves. When you equip the body of Christ, Paul didn't do evangelism all over the world. He equipped individuals that were shepherds over these churches, and then the church members did the outreach, you know, pastors, teachers, shepherds, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So whose job is it to do the Great Commission? It's the churches. It's your guys' job, not Pastor Rick, not Pastor Randy. Their job is to equip you guys and then to have you do the Great Commission in your communities. The people that you know today in your life, school, work, friends, family that are around you, who's going to reach them? It's not going to be the pastor of this church. It's going to be you individually. That's your part. We're living today in Acts chapter 29. I share this the other day. I said, turn your Bibles to Acts 29 in the church involved. They all started opening to try to find Acts 29. And they said, we can't find it. I said, I know, because it's right in front of me. It's you guys. You guys are Acts chapter 29. Fulfilling the Great Commission. You know, going to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. When Paul preached the gospel in the synagogue in Corinth, he was rejected. And then he said, I'm going to the Gentiles. I'm going to the nations. And where did he go? Right next door to the synagogue, to the house of Gaius, Justus. And where is your calling? Well, it's right next door. It's in your community. What's God's calling on your life? It's what you're doing today. Most of you don't have probably a calling to Indonesia. But is your calling less important? No. Your calling, where you're living and who you're around, that's who God wants you to minister to. Time is running out. We don't have a lot of time. We need to be walking closely with the Lord, not only for enjoyment, that we can have satisfaction in him and live an abundant life, but also that so that he can use us to make an eternal impact in their lives. Yeah. I want to just again say thank you to the Lord Jesus Christ for this opportunity, for my beautiful baby to be dedicated and be here with my wife, whom I don't deserve, and to be part of this ministry. And I'm thankful that my parents can also be here, and also my cousin Jeff with them. And I just want to really thank you all, and I want to turn it over to Pastor Randy.
Now you can catch part of the reason, as Brandon has grown, why Pastor Rick and I knew that it was time to go through the process of ordaining him. I didn't realize he was going to call me a rat, though. You call me all kinds of things, but a rat? Come on. I want to share in tandem with Pastor Brandon. We call him B. Don. There's so many names for him that some of them are really good and some of them are not to be repeated in church. Thank you, Rick. Yes. Not really, but what Brandon started to share was that we should know where we are going. Our head should be in the clouds, as they say. Not living there, but knowing where we are going. Brandon and Deb and I have worked together now for 13 years, which I'll tell you, blows me away. It's truly been a blessed ride. You know, from sitting in front of the Bali house when we were left by a team from a church and looking at each other, the three of us, and saying, what are we going to do now? Because that's exactly what we said. What's going to happen now? We did the only thing that we could do. We sat and we began to have time of prayer so that the Lord would not only hear our cry, but he would answer and then begin to work through us. We prayed for open ears. We prayed for opportunities. We prayed for the Lord to do things that we could then go back and give him the credit for. It's been a blessed time going from not knowing to some of the things that Brandon has talked about. If you would have told us that through our ministry that a church was going to be planted, and not only one, but possibly three, I would have told you that you were crazy, because that wasn't the call that we believed that we were going to have. We then began to provide support for orphanages, for doing Bible teaching, medical and dental. Dr. Phil has been on the mission field with us, I don't know, what, 11 times, 10, 11 times, doing dental work. We've done all those medical and dental outreaches. We've had attacks from militant Hindus that Brandon talked a little bit about. We've gone through Brandon's courtship. And let me tell you, that was not always easy. Randy, can you help me with this? Brandon, you just got to love your wife, man. It was a journey to get him from dating to married. But we got to go through that. And now we get to see his baby. Oh, my goodness. Brandon is a dad. How cool is that? We've been blessed and honored to be called missionaries. We've seen and experienced more than we could ever dream or share about here. And, you know, there are times as a missionary I've gotten up and been able to share and watch people walk out. If you walk out right now, you're going to be looked at, so be careful. But that's true, because, you know, a long time ago, as a missionary, when a missionary would come, there were times when I didn't really want to hear it and would go, because that wasn't in my heart. The way that I became, quote, a missionary was just because God just thumped me on the head. And when he took me to Mexico to do something, his voice was audible in my mind, and he said, if you can do this, you can do that. And it just hit me, and the Lord just opened the door, and then Deb and I have been traveling for extended periods of time, being able to call ourselves missionaries, which I believe is something special. But through all the ups and downs, the good food that we've eaten, place called Ibu Sadri's, which if some of you come over, I'll take you to that place. Some of the best food in Indonesia. And the food that has almost killed us. That's true. And you know where it was? Ibu Sadri's. But would I go back there? One heartbeat. One heartbeat. Through boat rides with rats and boat rides wondering if this was going to be the day that I die and get to see Jesus. God has taken us and done great things. Well, all three of us can honestly say that the Lord has given us favor. He's given us love. He's given us protection and boldness to share Jesus Christ. As a body, Calvary Chapel French Valley has also been blessed to be a part of the fulfilling of the Great Commission. We are supporters of STLI or STL International, Shine the Light International. We're supporters. So everything that Brandon and Unita get to do over in Indonesia, you're a part of, because we support their work. Missionaries, you know, a mission Sunday. Many times there's flags all over, and you know, we're not large enough to have 100 flags flying, but we've got flags flying. And I will tell you that we're supposed to have an Indonesian flag, and somehow I misplaced it, and Deb's already whipped me, so, you know. So you can see next to the American flag, next to the Israeli flag, there's an Indonesian flag. It's red and white. See it? Okay. Thanks, Kevin, for helping me out there. You are part of the fulfillment of the Great Commission. And for the rest of this time, I want to take you to two passages. These are passages that you know. And if you don't know them, you should know them. The first one is in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Pretty easy passage to remember, because the first part of it is the key. But it says this, go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go, therefore. Now, I want you to look at that and tell me where you see that it's the great suggestion. It's not there. It's not there. What is there is go, emphatic, a command for us to go. It's called the Great Commission. And if we go back one verse, we see how important that it is, not only for us, but for Jesus, because it says this, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority. Doesn't say some, it says all authority. Therefore, Jesus has the power, he has the authority, he has the command to basically command us. And it's a simple word, go. At the men's retreat, that was so poor. You would think that the men's retreat was a dud. Okay, let's try that again. At the men's retreat, that was a little bit better, but it could have been. You know. At the men's retreat, we saw unbelievable things happen, to be honest with you. And there was a theme that began to develop at the men's retreat. It came from the word willing, willingness. Are we willing to be used of God? That came out of the men's retreat, but the Lord kept showing that theme to me in what He wanted me to share today. Are we willing to be a part of the Great Commission? Are we willing to allow Jesus to cleanse us, to teach us, to mold us, to send us? You see, the emphatic command part is there. Jesus has already given that to us. Go, therefore. Go, therefore. The part that's not being done is the willingness of His people to fulfill that. So He says it, and you know, it's kind of cool that this is Mission Sunday and Maggie is going to be headed out to China. How unique is that? God's pretty great at putting that stuff together. So I'm going to remind you to pray for Maggie for the entire time that she's there. She's going to be with some CBU students. And, any time that somebody goes out from our church, we should be in prayer over them. And so, Arnie, if you'll remember to put that out periodically to pray for Maggie, that would be a great thing. And Mark will keep you updated so that we can have some updates as to what's going on. Amen? Go. Go. Jesus has already said that to us. Now here's the problem. He can't send us if we're not willing. He can't cause us to go if we aren't willing to act on what He says. The Great Commission is being fulfilled by willing believers. The second passage that I want to share with you, you should know this one too. It's out of Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Now this verse is normally associated with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, with an empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and yet it's a great missions passage. Here's what Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the world. Let's break that down. When Jesus was sharing this to the disciples, who were soon to be apostles as well, he was in Jerusalem. And so when he said, you will be witnesses to me of Jerusalem, He meant locally. He meant within the town of Temecula and Murrieta and Menifee, those places that you live in. So it's local. And then he went on and he said, in all Judea, and that would be outside of our cities and into our county, into the rest of our state, into Mexico, places that are close that we're called to go to. And then he says Samaria, which would be more the other states. If you look at the United States, that he's calling us to go and be witnesses there. And then he concludes and he says, and to the ends of the earth. I've been to the ends of the earth. It's called Sibirut. It's an island off the coast of Padang, which is where the tsunami initiated in 2004. And I can tell you that it's pretty barren. In fact, Brandon was talking about a boat ride that we, Devin, I, and another team had taken. And we were in seas that were of waves that were 9 to 15 feet. And we really thought that this could be the day that I get to meet Jesus. It was really that interesting. And you know, there was no fear on any of our part. There was no fear. Because even if the Lord chose that day to take us home, we were ready. We were prepared. But we landed in a village. I think it was called Green Bowl. And this village was the most ancient is probably a good term. Ancient village we had ever seen. The houses were up on stilts. The pigs ran all over the place. The people had no electricity, very little fire, and we thought we stepped back in time. You know, missionaries sometimes get to go back in time. This was one of those times. Interesting to note that that village, a few years later, at another tsunami, was totally wiped out. There were 170-something people that were in that village, and another tsunami took their lives. But in going to that place, it demonstrated to us the authority and the power of Jesus, because he's calling us to the ends of the world as easily as he's calling us to the Jerusalems. So those two verses, go, and then he tells us where to go. Isn't that pretty cool that he's already told us? Jesus has already told us where we are to go. Well, Calvary Chapel, French Valley, is blessed to be called a support for STL International. As Brandon has shared more in depth than I did, from sitting around and looking at each other and saying, what do we do next, to thinking that we're going to see churches planted, something I never would have dreamed about, are working with the Soe Orphanage, are a couple of other orphanages that we've been pouring into for a few years. We've also, Calvary Chapel French Valley has supported Brandon and UNITA and STL for many years. And that support is essential. We've been able to send two young men to the Bible college in the Philippines called Calvary Chapel Bible College of Dumaguete. And two of them have graduated from that. We've also been able to, and Calvary Chapel has been a support, to take a medical doctor who graduated. Her name is Dr. Ceci, who used to go out and do medical outreaches with us, to watching her become a surgeon, that we were able to help. What a blessing that has been, and your support of STL has done great and miraculous things. Calvary Chapel French Valley now supports ministries to Israel. One of those is Zion's Watchmen. It's where it's the group that Deb and I went to Israel with, and I wear the bracelet, and it glows in the dark. And Deb says, now I know where you're at all the time. I almost broke it the other day, but no. We support Israel because this church is called to support Israel. We support Zion's Watchmen, and at some point in time, we'll probably take a team from here to Israel working with them. We support Yad LaKashish. I've shared a little bit about this, but for those that don't know, you can see some information in the back. But that is a ministry to Jewish people that are coming home to Israel on what they call an aliyah. An aliyah is a call of Israelis to come back to Israel. And so a lot of these elderly people are coming, and the government cannot support them. And so this ministry in the heart of Jerusalem is an outreach. And so a number of these elderly people come in every day, and they make crafts. You can see some of those in the back. They make crafts to sell to help support them. But you know what the other thing that it does? It gives them some dignity, because these are people that are coming back to Israel that don't have hope. As Brandon talked about hope, that's part of what a missionary is supposed to do, is to give hope to those people around this world that don't have that hope, that are living in darkness. We support Israel through that ministry. And in the back, you'll be able to look at some of those items that you can put money into to help support those ministries. It's a blessing to be able to do that. The other thing that we do with Israel is we pray Psalm 122:6. You hear that from my lips all the time, because it's not a joke. It says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And if you were here when I spoke a few weeks ago, I talked about, really, when you think about praying for the peace of Jerusalem, you're really praying the term Maranatha, our Lord, come quickly. Because the peace of Jerusalem will not be centered upon Jerusalem until the millennial kingdom. So when we pray that, we're praying that Jesus returns quickly. Why is all of that important? It's important because in Genesis 12:3, God tells us that those who bless Israel will be blessed, and those that curse Israel will be cursed. This church will bless Israel by our prayers, by our donations, by talking about Israel, because they're God's chosen people. Pray for missionaries. You know, the simple fact is that missionaries need your prayer support 365 days out of the year. Brandon sometimes will face things in Indonesia that we don't know about, but God will tell you about, and you should be praying about it, because he needs your covering. So you should, when God calls you to pray for a missionary, Brandon or some other missionary that you know about, you should be praying morning, noon, and night when the Lord brings that up. Pray before meals. Give funds. Missionaries need support. It's a simple fact. You can't go out and do the job that God's called you if you don't have the funds to do that. We've given you a couple of different ways. We do it through the church as well, but you can always give extra funds, because missionaries generally need more. You can join us in October for the trip when we go to Indonesia. You can also, on a consistent basis, pray in your own home, Psalm 122:6. Praying for Jerusalem, the peace of it, praying for Israel, because the simple fact is, as go Israel, so goes the body of Christ. We should be in touch with what they are doing. And then my challenge to you is to get involved. You know, as Eddie said, you know, even though he shared it a little bit interesting, I'm sure some of us have had the same thing, that we walk in and wanted to punch somebody in the neck and run. Great way to explain that there's fear associated with getting involved. There's sometimes a difficulty taking that first step. But God desires for us to be involved. And so, passages today. Brandon talked about a hope. where our minds should be. We should be looking eternally. But then out of Matthew 28, Jesus tells us to go. And then out of Acts 1, he tells us where to go. There's some of you even today that are sitting knowing that God's calling you to somehow get involved. I don't know what that means. I do know that Pastor Rick, myself, Pastor John, now Pastor Brandon, we would talk you through anything because our commitment is to our church to equip them to go. If it's next door, go next door. If it's at your work, go to the people at your work. If it's doing something in the state legislature or something like that, do that. If it's to go to Indonesia, come and be a part of that. God will lay on your heart the simple fact that as I stand up here, a proud missionary, I look out and I see missionaries throughout this body. God's calling you to do something for somebody to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Missionary Sunday. Yeah, it doesn't happen all that time, but as you walk out, stop and see some of the things that you all are already a part of. Say hello to Brandon and Unita. You don't get to see them very often. So say hello to them and don't get out of this place this morning without a hug. That hug may be the thing that grabs you and makes you a major part of Calvary Chapel, French Valley.
Thank you for listening to The Radical Word. If you would like to get a copy of this message or this whole series, go to www.radicalword.com. To get more information about Calvary Chapel French Valley, go to www.calvaryfv.com. You can also reach us by phone at 951-600-3845. If you're in the Murrieta area, we would be blessed to have you join us at one of our services or Bible studies.
This is Pastor Rick. The Bible teaches that Jesus, God the Son, came and walked on this earth. He lived a perfect life and then died for the sins of the world, including mine and yours. By believing that and accepting that Christ's sacrifice was for your sins, the Bible says you will be saved. Why not do that right now, right where you are? Pray this prayer with me and mean it. Jesus, I need something radical to happen in my life. Please forgive me of my sins. Please come into my life. Thank you for dying for me and giving me the hope of heaven. Help me to live a radical life for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, send us an email to prayer@calvaryfv.com so we can pray for you by name and send you some information to help you with your walk with Jesus. God bless you.